links. I then accused the attorney general, the prosecutor general of Colombia for that. So I have been in this place before, and I am sure of what I'm doing. Just like the Pandora Papers proved me right, I know that in this case, the links are very serious. And it is sufficient for anybody interested in what's going on in Ecuador to ask the question, who killed Rubén Cherres? And we will have clear answers that will help us respond who killed Fernando Villavicencio.
Well, Andrés Arauza, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Ecuadorian politician, economist, running for vice president of Ecuador, along with presidential candidate Luisa González. She's the only woman running for president in the 2023 Ecuador election. In 2021, Arauza ran for president and lost to Guillermo Lasso. Go to democracynow.org in Spanish for our Spanish interview that we'll conduct just after this show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Sire Rhodes. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
Can't get good reception of KBOO on your radio? Just type in www.kboo.fm on your PC or laptop and click on Listen Live. We're just a mouse click away.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Good More morning. Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM 90.7 on your FM dial in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, the 14th of April. I am Cecil, and I'm here with my co-hosts.
Good morning. I think this is August. Now, I could be wrong.
Oh, what did I say?
April.
April, August.
Are you thinking it's taxes?
Oh, God.
It's almost a month.
That's right. A quarterly
tax. They should be throwing in Alaska and, you know, avocado and who knows what else.
That's aardvark. Right. Quarterly taxes that do, maybe. I don't know. But.
Later for that.
Okay. How are you this morning? Celeste?
I'm excited. I think I'm a little bit overexcited. I got a lot going on today.
Yes.
You know, but I'm glad to be here with our listeners and supporters. And I want to thank everybody ahead of time for connecting and chatting and sharing ideas and being open-minded and all of the things that go with that, because that is becoming in short supply lately. And that, I think, is part of the topic for today's show, you know, in that we find that people are short of temper, short of patience, short of understanding, but it's not necessarily just because we might have character flaws or weaknesses or foibles. No, some of it is because of the information and the communication that's in the ether, especially is coming through the airwaves. And I'm not talking about KBOO, but I'm talking about from some of our rhetorical despots that we hear broadcast on the air. So, now, go ahead.
No, so this isn't because of weather. It's because...
Well, I think the weather exacerbates it.
Exasperate.
I do.
But I think what you're hitting on is it's a larger phenomena.
Yes, it's a much larger phenomena. And two of the elements, just two that we're going to talk about today, and actually even very limited aspects of those two, are the fact that, and I did mention despot, so I'll explain it in terms of this. We're hearing more and more about the egregious assaults on democracy that Donald Trump has committed. And a lot of us are disheartened, discouraged, enraged, and upset over this. And sometimes some of us are also upset because we have family members or friends or associates or colleagues who still buy into his rhetoric and his tales. And so we find ourselves at odds. We don't want to necessarily be at odds with our colleagues and those in our circles. But when they espouse things that we just can't accept, that puts us in a agitated state. You know, we're swimming in agitation. Okay, some time ago, might have been last year, Cecil and I did a show about how keeping people angry makes them very easy to control. And there are people like Donald Trump, like Vladimir Putin, for example, that understand certain things about your mind, about your brain, about how we process language. And they take advantage of those things. And I wanted to kind of discuss that a little bit with you. There was an article, and you know, Cecil, I might have to impose upon you, if you could, maybe post this so folks could read it. And it was from Politico magazine, The Big Idea, What Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Viktor Orban Understand About Your Brain. Why do some people support Trump, also wind up believing conspiracy theories? And he, the article, Marcel Dennessy, has a theory on why. And the writer of this article is a professor of semiotics and linguistic anthropology at the University of Toronto and has written a book, Politics, Lies, and Conspiracy Theories, A Cognitive Linguistic Perspective. Now, we've talked a little bit about this before, and I'm going to try to tie it into that and another topic that we also have. These people who understand speech and political rhetoric and how to manipulate people use this evil power to, instead of unite people, divide folks, create culture wars, instill all kinds of hatred and animosity. And this is an old pattern. It's not like it's new at all. But what we have is leaders who are capable of using words and speech to whip people in such an emotional frenzy that they'll do anything that these people suggest, whether it be march on Congress or attack abortion clinics or stab people dancing on the street. And so what we want to look at is how these people use that evil power, you know, and whip up aggression, for example, and hatred, so that they can manipulate a lot of us into doing their will.
And certainly, as you suggested, this isn't a new phenomenon in terms of desperate, in terms of controlling populations. We can go down the a long list in history of the rules of despot and their power and their authority and their ability to take holds of influence, whether it's media as we are focusing on today, but other ways in which they are able to control and direct our passion, our energy, and to control us. And one thing that, particularly in terms of the United States, you mentioned Donald Trump, and certainly he's not the only example in the United States of despot. But what I think is concerning to me, and I hope that we are able to figure it out, is someone like Donald Trump, who is a, you know, self-avowed, well, I don't know if he's self-avowed, but certainly he's a narcissist, and certainly amoral, and the grasp he has on people who are ostensibly religious, where I recall ideals such as compassion and empathy, looking out for the little persons, were upheld as honorable, and Mr. Trump certainly does not abide by those principles. And so why are, I don't think I understand why are supposedly religious folks who should be led by empathy and whatever and ways in which their religious tenets teach them about living for the other person, why they are attracted to someone who certainly in his own personal life, but also in policies, opposes some fundamental religious values. But that's probably expanding the discussion a little bit more. But what is it about the power of these politicians who have the ability to assert lies and lies, and people just eat it all up?
Well, you know, I don't think we have enough time to even develop that extra perspective you put in. But I think it's a very valid one and valuable one to at least touch on. You know, one of the main things these people do, and I know this will resonate with listeners, and it's nothing new. You've heard it before. You dehumanize people. And you use language to dehumanize people. They become things, and then they not only become things, they become pests. And then they become not only pests, they become some type of usurping force. And so I think that is one of the ways in which compassion gets undermined and usurped itself. And then the fact that we know that there are things going on behind our backs as the populace, as voters, as you know, residents in this country. We know that because things come to light, and we also know human nature. You know, as I've said many times, a conspiracy is just a plan that might be directly about you or indirectly about you, but it does not involve you in the planning thereof. And so when you have someone like Donald Trump, who is seeming to be on the inside, but then he paints himself as every person, every man, and he says, this is what they're doing to you, and I should know because I'm up in this too, but I'm in it fighting for you. So he feigns concern for people. And we all want to know that somebody cares about us, even in the midst of this despotic rhetoric that, you know, makes us stop caring about, you know, people in our very own backyard. And so you have this heady brew of skill with words, you know, skill with speech, this feigned, this fake populist approach, this letting people in on the inside track secrets and dehumanizing. And I'm not going to pretend that this is all there is, because to say so would be simplistic, you know. And I'm not going to be a reductionist there. But what I will say is, you know, resonate on that for a moment, because now I want to kind of tie it into our other topic. I'm going to keep it slim. I'm not even going the whole way, but go ahead.
No, I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. I want to remind those who are waiting to speak, we'll get to you right after Celeste expressed the next topic. Go ahead, Celeste.
Okay. So the next topic is one of the other reasons why we're having so much problems in community building. You have groups who are turning against their own cultural or ethnic identity cohort to try to support a white supremacist perspective. Now, we have a caller who from time to time will call us up and say, you know, you're white supremacist. And I kind of laugh because my politics are pretty obvious and I'm not supporting any white supremacist ideology. However, I did want to give a small bit of credence to that because it does happen. We have people, and I know sometimes Cecil has tut-tut at me, you know, when I mention Clarence Thomas's name, but, you know, he is of a Gullah Geechee identity and culture and heritage, and yet you will hear this man speak really disparaging about the whole concept of affirmative action and the need thereof, and the fact that there are people who are being discriminated against and need that extra assistance of a leveled playing field. And he's not the only one. There are Proud Boys. And I remember having conversation with some of my Latino and Latina friends about why are we finding so many brown folks, especially of Latin descent, in the Proud Boys. And they explained how if you look at it from a different perspective, like a national perspective, for example, instead of an ethnic or physical appearance, you will see that it's not uncommon for people, for example, in Cuba, to not want to be associated with any type of African heritage and to desire the cachet that comes with that white identity. And if they are dark-skinned but they're not of African heritage, they especially don't want to be associated with whatever stigma has been, you know, exported worldwide, globally, against dark-skinned people, and they want that cachet that comes with whiteness. And so we shouldn't be surprised that there are going to be folks of color embracing not only the white supremacist ideology and culture and collectives of groups like the Proud Boys. We should not be surprised that there'll be people like Clarence Thomas and we should not be surprised that these folks will gravitate towards someone like perhaps Trump, because once again, he starts showing that there are certain groups that are encroachers, they're usurpers, they're trying to come in. And so we'll stop there because I want to make sure we get to our callers.
Okay, so what are the questions, what are the points you want the callers to address, Celeste?
Well, one of the things I want to address is
to answer.
All of us need to be ministers of listening and peace because it's by bringing down that heated rhetoric that we're going to be able to touch these people who are either in our circles or we encounter to kind of break this spell. I'm seeing more and more people waking up and saying, oh my God, I've been duped, you know, by this whole thing. And it's really important. But it's also, it's really important for us to recognize that they are, that people are waking up and that they are trying to shake off that spell. But it's also important for us to recognize that strong manipulative power of words and how it needs to be addressed and how we can build an effective means to combat it.
Well, let's see.
And go ahead, add points that you see as well.
Well, I want to, there's a couple of callers waiting online and want to get to them and hear their responses. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. How do you respond and how do you, what are your thoughts on these topics? Let's go to our first caller, Santiago. Thank
good
you
morning,
for holding.
Santiago.
Good morning. You know, in terms of what Trump is, so first of all, we have to remember that Trump is just he's just a manifestation of America in decline. I mean, Trump is what the whole world sees when they think of America. I mean, he is the epitome of what American exceptionalism is to people abroad. So, I mean, in that way, he is the perfect avatar for those who still believe in the idea of American exceptionalism and that we should, and that this country should be on the top of the food chain somehow. But more importantly, the reason why people like Trump are able to ascend, and we have to remember that, you know, it's not just, you know, who we term as the right. We have to remember that this is, this is a confluence of 40 years of the Republicans and the Democrats essentially working together to disenfranchise the poor, because it was, you know, because a lot of his supporters are from the Rust Belt, where, you know, where they, where, you know, the, you know, NAFTA took the big, you know, took the largest chunk out of, you know, what was left of a unionized working class, you know, people who had jobs that paid, you know, $30+ an hour plus benefits with pensions, you know, lost basically everything overnight so these CEOs could go abroad and pay my people, you know, like, let, you know, not even half of that with no benefits in Mexico, you know. So it's like, you can't, you know, so, you know, the Democrats are just as much a part of this, but Trump is essentially, Trump exists because there is a failure to address the material needs of the people, you know, and it's like, yes, you were saying, you know, he's playing, what these fascists do is they take chunks and tidbits of true information and then use that to get into their heads and then shoehorn a bunch of other crazy ideas. Like, they're right about the deep state. But the thing, yes, is they don't consider the deep state, like, you know, like, forging the Gulf of Tonkin incident to send poor people into Vietnam to essentially save the produce basket for the French. You know, right. they you know what I mean? Like, they don't realize that, you know, that the deep state is having the daughter. Having the daughter of a Kuwaiti minister come in and give a false testimony to, you know, Saddam Hussein's forces going in and taking babies out of incubators and throwing them on the ground. They don't consider that the deep state. They consider the deep state, you know, like magical demonic Democrats who are drinking blood of children and, you know, doing magic spells. You know,
or Hunter Biden doing various nefarious acts. Yeah,
but the thing is that it's not grounded in reality. But for a lot of people, because of their religion, because they tie a lot of this into their religious beliefs, you know, because essentially people are desperate. You know, it's the last thing that they have to hold on to at this point. So they're using that to shoehorn in some other crazy ideas. So, I mean, the fascists get right essentially like what's going on. But the problem is they don't tell them that they're the ones who are complicit in creating that that depravity. I mean, people are up, you know, Joe Biden, you know, the people are like, oh, you know, Joe Biden, you know, like, you know, trying to, you know, oh, look at him trying to give all these college kids a pass on, you know, so, you know, like, you know, forgiving $10,000-$20,000 of student debt, when they don't realize it was his bill that locks students into their debt in the first place. So the people who are praising him for forgiving $10,000 are not telling you that he locked kids into $100,000, $200,000 that they can't bankrupt out of it. So
part of that is because people are so upset and angry they're not reading, and people are not reading as much as they should anyway, because secret. But to your point, you know, it's also, it's not just the fact that they're skilled hucksters. It's the fact that whether they understand it deeply and profoundly or they have a basic understanding of it, they're using language and our cognitive processing against us. You know, basically, you've heard the saying, if you hear a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And it's not that simplistic, but that's part of it as well.
Well, no, that is part of it, but I would also say that it's not just Republicans. Democrats are just as culpable as well. And you were talking about blocks to community building. Well, I would say that anti-communist rhetoric is a huge block to community building, because, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats will be happy to tell us about, the Santa Clausified version of Martin Luther King Jr., but they won't tell you where he got his political leanings from. They won't tell you that, you know, that he was socialist. They want to rewrite the history of, you know, particularly black liberation struggles, but, you know, liberation struggles in general, because they can't have you knowing what the driving force was. They wanted to act like it was some sort of like American exceptionalist altruism is what drove MLK to give his famous speech that ended racism, you know?
Okay.
You know, they don't want to tell, you know, they don't want to tell you about the 10 plus years that he spent grinding on, you know, essentially socialist rhetoric, and then only to have it slightly toned down, but then turned it up again right before he died. They'll show you videos of the speech at the Washington.
Santiago, you're laying a lot more depth on this than we have time to process. And as usual, I really appreciate your layered and multifaceted approach. But unfortunately, we don't have as much time as you deserve. I want to thank you for your point and for setting the tone and for reminding us that an important thing to do is look behind the scenes and despite how busy we are, to try to read more. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, Santiago. I appreciate your reference, Martin Luther King, and I always like to remind people who may only know maybe two lines of Martin Luther King. I say, well, if you're going to keep quoting the I Have a Dream speech, quote the whole thing. Quote the demand for the end to police violence, quote the demands for economic reparations, quote his assertion that America has failed to live out its calling. Let's go to our next caller, Corey. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Corey.
Hey, good morning. Glad to hear from both of you. So I'll keep it concise because there's a lot going on this morning, but I want to actually speak on this. I usually say that, let me be brief, but I'll keep it concise. So basically, I work in higher ed, and what we see is that a lot of Americans, in a macro sense, are getting dumber. But this is also being done very intentionally and covertly. You look at things like PragerU, et cetera, et cetera, being implemented into like the Florida education system. And so you're creating a generation of dummies. And the funny part is, like when you said, you know, try not to get heated. We have a little cousin. I just left Texas. You know, my sister has a PhD. I have a PhD. We have a cousin in Texas, and we went to go visit Texas this, you know, the past weekend. And he's in the garage, and he's talking. He's like, "Yeah, I want to talk to you guys. Like, have you heard about like this conspiracy or that conspiracy?" And we're kind of sitting there looking to him, and he's like talking about Jason Whitlock and Candace Owens. And so my sister and I lost it. We're like, you sound dumb. And we actually said that. So I'm like, look, man, you are 21 years old. You're working a blue-collar job, like, overnight at a Walmart. And we're not knocking you because we respect that you are working. But you're not educated. And we actually had to tell them, like, look, as smart as you think these things you're saying is, you're not educated. And I think just think, you know, due to the joys of social media, I think people are regularly exposed to just things that they have no idea what they're talking about, and they're clueless, yet it's that Dunning-Kruger syndrome. But he thought he was being smart. And so he actually mentioned, well, Nicki Minaj said this. I'm like, why would you listen to Nicki Minaj talking about her cousin who took the vaccine, whose testicles got swollen, versus Dr. Fauci? Do you know what peer review is? Do you know the research that goes into a vaccine? But yet you're going to sit up here and quote Nicki Minaj. And then we actually realized that, okay, the stuff that he was quoting, you have people like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan, they have commodified ignorance.
Yes.
And basically the dummies think they're smart, and yet the smart people like the Jordan Peterson manipulate the dummies. So it becomes like this vicious cycle. And you see it in there.
Our trickle down, Corey, our trickle down. Because Jordan Peterson now is not only a PhD but a professor. So what he's doing is he's educating folks to be stupid. Then he goes on to the stupid factory like Joe Rogan, and he further sows these seeds of dissent and ignorance.
So Corey, you began by talking about the dumbing down of America and referenced your sister and you and also this person you're referring to. How do we bridge the gap, the education gap, and what is missing in our system that allows people, that does not allow people to get the education that they need?
It comes down to mentoring, and I think that might be a very broad word, because right now Black boys in America, are when they get to the fourth grade, only 14% are reading at a proper literacy rate. And so, like, I've implemented a program here at the, I can say, well, I work at the University of Washington. We go into these little elementary schools. We talk to these little kids. We use graphic novels, a.k.a. comic books. That's the nerd in me. But it actually works. Because you have to get
it
them
does
to read.
Work.
But you have to also let them read. Like, you have to understand, like, you know what is educational reading versus what is a lie. And then to also to your point about the Proud Boys, and this is just more of a bigger point too. I know they just sentenced that tiny Tosi to 95 months in prison. That's that and when you have Latinos and people of Samoan Hawaiian extraction who join these groups, that's because they prefer that proximity to whiteness, because we will let you in as long as you're not Black. And so a really interesting point. So that proximity to whiteness is key. You have race, you have racism, and you have anti-Black racism. And anti-Black racism is at the other spectrum to where, like, look, you can call me whatever. I might be Latin, I might be Hawaiian, whatever. Just don't call me Black. And you see that, and that's why you see these Latino people who, and the fact is, they're the ones going to jail. You know, this guy got 95 months, and I actually saw him up in here in Washington State when he got shot a couple months ago, and so basically, like, yeah, I'll get shot, I'll go to jail, whatever it takes, just don't make me proximate to Black people.
Yeah.
One of the things that's really ironic about this is some of these people do have African heritage.
Oh, yeah.
But it is that trying to apprehend and grasp the cachet of whiteness, the whiteness, the political power that comes with it, the possibility that comes with it, that makes people lose their mind and be so greedily grasping at whiteness that they'll sell out their own heritage.
Exactly. And there's a lot you guys unpacked this morning, so I'll just keep listening. And thank you so much. I like listening to you guys on Monday mornings.
Thank you, Corey.
Well, thank you so much, Corey.
You're listening to KBOO-FM. Excuse us for that. One little... Oops. So you're listening to KBOO-FM, More Talk Radio, here on 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO WordPress.fm. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. And I believe that Arthur is waiting to speak.
Yes.
Arthur.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Arthur. Right here. Hello. Hello. I don't know about the power of radio, but there's a beeping. There's a beeping sound, incessant beeping sound that I'm hearing.
Okay, we're working on that, Arthur.
Okay, that's our engineer trying to drop that other line. Okay, are you still with us, Arthur?
My imagination, then.
No.
Oh, okay, that's a. I think that's been cleared up. That's the power of radio, right there.
Okay, let's get back to the point.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you for my black brother for the previous call. That was nice. Thank you. Listen. I got just a couple of comments here. I think you guys mentioned a big T word over 6-8 times. I'd rather you didn't. But anyway, let's focus on Biden and Congress giving $1 trillion to make war all across the planet.
That's not our topic, I'm afraid, so we'll have to give up on that.
So next thing I want to say is this. It's getting ready to be 100 degrees Fahrenheit. I suggest people give water to their neighbors.
Yes.
I think that's the way to roll.
That is it. That is a beautiful suggestion.
And we'll... thank you, Arthur, for that suggestion. It's important, you know, as we, you know, rev up these arguments and disagreements, that it's important to remember that we are all in here together and we are supporting our siblings. So whether they are siblings that we see who need a bottle of water on the streets, or whether it is suffering from the impact of climate change in Maui or South Africa, we all are here together, and it's important, as Arthur reminded us, that we need to work together. And in spite of the fact of people seeking to divide us, there is a necessary for us to find ways to come together, to work together, and to move beyond attacking one another. As Celeste mentioned, sometimes we seem to be so mean and angry at one another, and some of our media helps push that, and some of the politicians, some of them will be named and some of them will remain unnamed, continue to push us into that reality. So what do we do to get beyond that? Give us your thoughts. Our numbers here again are 503-231-8187. How do we get beyond, and how do we create a country, a world, where we are able to listen and help one another? 503-231-8187. Here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Celeste, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I got a little distracted by the points that Arthur was making, but I thought you might want to steer us back to what we would like to talk about this morning.
Well, you know, I don't want to make it seem as though we don't want to talk about Biden or the Democratic Party, because I am I'm an equal opportunity critiquer. You know, I don't hold anything coming from Biden sacrosanct. And as I think it was Santiago mentioned, you know, we should not be slavishly beholden to any party, because that leads to becoming the very mindset that we're talking about avoiding today. So, you know, Arthur is more focusing on how Biden has contributed to the atmosphere here that is divisive. That would have been a better perspective. But to get back on track, you know, and we're not going to be able to unpack all of this this topic today. I can see it now. But we're talking about how people who are despotic and narcissistic in nature create culture divisions by having a thorough understanding of how our minds work, how rhetoric works, how to keep us enraged and easy to control, and how a lot of people will sell out their culture, their birthright, their personal identity to try to grasp that and therefore become, in essence, white supremacists themselves. I want to throw up another example of somebody, but in a way, this person is a bad example because they don't have the skill set, apparently. They are more off-putting. I often wonder if he's on the spectrum and has Asperger's, because his personal skills suck, and that is Ronald DeSantis. He tries to use language divisively, but he has about as much, you know, art and skill, you know, as a bull in a china shop.
So part of the challenge, I think, is the language we use and how do we define language. So we've thrown around the word white supremacist and racist and whether it applies to individuals or not. And I'm not sure whether or not we have a common definition of those terms. And I think that is what makes it difficult to have a reason to have meaningful conversation, because although we might be speaking English, we're speaking different languages.
That's true. So, okay, Tag, you're it. You start with a definition, and I'll add mine.
Well, I was going to say that racism is often seen as an individual act. So if I do something to you, then I'm a racist. Rather than, and I would like to say that we can do acts that harm people, individual acts that harm people, but racism and white supremacies are a system. And therefore, since we are all part of this system, we are all infected by white supremacy and racism. And so for me, at least, that's the starting point. It's sort of like, oh, we are all in this mess together and we are all impacted by it. So the argument is not so much can one person be racist and another person not, although that's important because in terms of how we act towards and with one another, but also in terms of systemically, how do we understand our system and get beyond the system which keep us at one another's throats? So the power of white supremacy impact all of us. And so part of the challenge is how do we get beyond it? How do we reject it? With some people that you mentioned, Celeste, Supreme Court justices, politicians, another caller mentioned media personality or have an impact on us, but it's more than just how individual acts. So that's my initial stab at that.
Well, the only thing I would add is the fact that the individual is an aggregate of the system of racism, institutional racism, and bigotry. And just to make it clear, I know people want to say folks of color can be racist. No, folks of color, when they're acting in that fashion, are bigots or prejudiced, because we don't have the system of racism behind us to back it up and make it a de facto norm, practice, or rule, you know, because society has all these rules to say, well, if you're a person of color, you can or can't do X, Y, Z. And so that's what I'm looking at. But I just want to add that as a part to your definition, because I think we're pretty close.
Great. So let's go to our next caller. Dempsey is on the line. Good morning, Dempsey.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. How
doing
are you?
Well. How are you?
I'm turning on my radio so I can just listen to my phone. I appreciate the conversation. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we're here. You just have to turn your radio down.
The radio was messing with my... Anyway, I thought my contribution to this conversation would be to talk about some of the internet personalities and the YouTubers, especially black people who have discovered a way to make money, which is to make fun of black people and to point out, like they'll talk about Welfare Queen, and their point of reference will be everything negative, really. And I'm thinking about people like Tommy Sotomayor, which people like him, I would watch, and they'd say, wait a minute, what's he doing? And then, okay, I'm done with you. I can't listen to you anymore. Because you would notice that every time he wants to talk about anything black, it would usually be something about ratchet women, something about Welfare Queens, something about this. And I believe that they realized that there's a portion of the American public, white supremacist-leaning people, who would tune into that and say, yeah, that's right. Hey, here's a black person saying all these things that I already believe. And then the clicks and the likes will go up, and their income will go up.
And monetize.
And then, people like, I'm also thinking about Fresh and Fit. Have you heard about this podcast? Fresh and Fit are two internet personalities, and they started by doing a whole bunch of the red pill stuff, trying to give advice to men about how to date women. And it's very misogynistic. That thing is to invite 60 women to have a table talk and then figure out how they can curse one of them out and send them packing. You get the F out. Wow. And people love that. So, wow. Okay. But then they recently got into hot water because, by the way, one of them is black from the Caribbean, and the other one, he's Sudanese, and I don't believe he identifies as black, but he looks black. And they turned to a lot of very, very racist things where they got into a beef with other online personalities who are black, and then called them monkeys and gorilla and made fun of them, and like very racist. Like, it looks really weird.
So these are personalities, as you mentioned, YouTubers or have some social media presence. They monetize it, and it's they get enough clicks. And I don't know whether or not they're being genuine in terms of their honest beliefs, and that may not be relevant. But it is. Mm-hmm. But what is important is that they have this platform, and they have their power to expand their influence by speaking what I think is ridiculous nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just them, and they cater to a certain set. They cater to people who maybe are not as informed and educated as they would want to be, and so they see this as a fast means of getting education and social talking points. I'm also concerned about, I cannot remember the young woman's name, and I'm wasting time trying to find her. She's on YouTube, and she is sponsored by Prager University. And that is one of the groups that I think maybe it was Corey mentioned, that a lot of people are fooled by into thinking that they're actually getting education. But Prager University is an extreme conservative group that really has no interest in people of color other than pawns. Oh, surprise. You know, and so there's traps on a lot of ends, because Corey mentioned how his family member was, you know, quoting Nicki Minaj. Well, some of these folks that you just mentioned, Nicki Minaj might be somebody that they hold up as an example. And so that's something the people, especially young people who haven't had as much educational opportunity as they would like, and, well, you know, frankly, they would need, but she's popular. So that makes them feel cool and hip, you know. And so that's another way these folks manipulate us and use this whole science of cognitive processing, you know.
So
it's frightening.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that you brought up PragerU because they're in the news related to Florida right now because
yes.
PragerU is sponsoring or I don't know, their videos are being used and I guess probably their curriculum in elementary school. And I watched a clip of this two young white children talking to Frederick Douglass. And apparently earlier behind the clip, they had been witnessing or talking something about Black Lives Matter and they made it seem like Frederick Douglass was in agreement with these white children that Black Lives Matter people just want to burn and destroy. And on top of that, he was telling them something about, I don't know, making light of slavery. And just like they had Frederick Douglass as a cartoon character speaking the opposite of what Frederick Douglass would have has written and
right.
has said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Little children are going to be learning this. And we're already dealing with the education deficit, like you all were talking about, people reading less, and then Florida with their anti-woke and their all of their recent changes to their curriculum, and you have teachers and librarians trying to figure out ways how to censor themselves to avoid not just losing their job, but maybe going to jail.
Yeah,
if they did talk about Rosa Parks or something like that.
Right, and I think it's important to, as you give these excellent examples of how they're trying to erase and deny the reality of the struggles that people have had, that this is historical. This has always happened, trying to erase the lives and the histories of oppressed people, and this is just the latest example. And we have to remain vigilant and speak out against it. So, yeah, John, thank you.
Well, here's something I want to suggest to people, and I'm going to take Arthur's suggestion and expand upon it. Tell your family members what to read. Help them find, true, accurate depictions and share those sources because that's the only way we're going to combat this. What they're making Black people have to do is create their own schools. Oh my goodness, echoes. to educate ourselves because they're not going to tell us. The moment they told us that the Black Panthers were a militant subversive group instead of a group they wanted to make sure kids got across the street safely and got food, that was miseducation. And this is the fruit of it. So, tell your folks, inform them, share information with them so that we can stop this. We can stop this. We can find a way to stop this tide because this ignorance is going to kill us all if we don't combat it.
Before we go to our next caller, I just want to add on, this ignorance can be destructive. And I'll just want to point out, go back in the library. If the library is open and if the books haven't been pulled, we often talking about history. Carter G. Woodson, who's known as the founder of Black History Month or Negro History Week, a book he wrote early part of the 20th century, The Miseducation of the Negro, which is an example of this historic desire to not allow oppressed people to speak up and to have their voice. We only have a few minutes, and so let's go to a next caller. And who's the next caller? John, thank you for waiting.
Good morning, John.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it concise and simple, but it comes down to too much money in too few hands. And you can see the exaggerated example with Chief Justice Clarence Thomas, but he's not the only one. I think the other four or five of them are on the take. And then it goes into Senator Scott of South Carolina, to this one Black congressman in Florida that's always on Fox. And then you have Larry Elders. Now, they're all being sponsored by these Richies, and they're the ones who are flaming a lot of this racism. And it's just, and these people have like tens of billions. Probably some of them are trillionaires, you know, as far as, you know, their assets. And they have all the money. Now they want all the power. And one of the typical things to do is against everybody else, you know, just pit everybody else against everybody, because they can buy people like people were bought and sold back in the 1800s. So this has been going on for 43 years, and
longer.
You know, everybody can bitch about Biden all he wants, but I think he's one person who's trying to, you know, be the little Dutch boy to stop the leak in the dike. And and the only thing that people see is not red, white, and blue. They see green, and that's just sure. how our culture is. And it's anybody who's not making a lot of money, they are insignificant. And so one person, the previous caller, was talking about the internet. I mean, it's just put another log on the fire. And as long as people who make billions of dollars only pay 3% federal income tax, they are in control. And it just seems pretty obvious to me. You know, I'm sure a lot of other people, but other people say, well, what are you going to do? Write your congressman? You know?
Yes.
So I just kind of like put it kind of simplistically that, you know, we're ruled by a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We're not ruled by the Congress.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I mean that Harlan Crow thing, you know, is advocate, Nazi. But look at, Chief Justice Clarence Thomas probably even read Mein Kampf. And there, you know,
even if he didn't, the fact is that what you're basically saying is that pervasive influence is everywhere. And we have to be on guard.
Just as one minor correction, he's not the Chief Justice, he's an Associate Justice.
Oh, okay, so, he's on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Uh-huh. I mean, I heard him say, they were talking about, what about the law, and he was giggling. He says, I am the law.
Wow.
Well, of course, that's their attitude.
There you go.
he's not lying. They are the law.
Yeah.
And, when you buy the law, you buy everything. I'm just being exaggerated.
Yeah. I think an important point you make is the influence of money and its role. So yeah.
It's been going on ever since the founding of this republic, or if you want to call it whatever. But it's just now it's getting into crisis mode. You know, I know, I've listened to, on the radio about here on the KABU about, the speeches of FDR, and he was just talking about, how the oligarchs were going to leave the country because, he was going to raise their taxes. And so FDR says, well, I'll miss them very much. He wasn't afraid of them. You see?
Yes, that's right.
And, Biden's walking on eggshells because, he knows he's target, because he's going after him. But, that's a very brave thing. But I know it. But it just shows you, like some of these black politicians are, just such a sellout. I mean, they took that candy. They drank that Kool-Aid.
What we want to be clear on is when we say sellouts, we don't. Politicians, brown, red, or yellow, or white. We also mean how it affects gender, because you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is just selling out people who have not had education. You have Ted Cruz and DeSantis, who have ethnic roots, and they do not care. And so we got to recognize that we got to call our own out and be more accountable, or force them to be more accountable, whatever it takes. But I want to thank you for your call. We're rapidly running out of time here.
We are, and thank you all for being a part of this program this morning. And as we just find our way out of this mess, I think among the things that I'm taking away from this conversation this morning is the need to be more transparent, to be able to listen, and to be able to move the conversation, to probe. Thank you all for being a part of this conversation.
Yes,
thank you, Celeste. What are your final thoughts?
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Danielle, our engineer, and thank you for all of our callers and supporters. And we'll hear you next week here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/kboomradio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/kboo.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kboo radio.
We also provide content to the free music archive.
An interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/kboo.
You can find all of this and more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.